This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We are in Genesis chapter 40, and we're dealing with the visions and the dreams of the butler and the baker. And they go together. It's an interesting dichotomy here. We have two dreams that kind of match up in some ways, and the symbolism in them is easy to see and easy to understand. And as you're watching it, as you're reading, you're not watching, as you're reading the stories, you go, okay, this seems like the next one ought to be a good dream too, because the last one was a great interpretation and a great dream. And if you'll notice, oftentimes scripturally, when we're doing dream interpretation and when people are interpreting dreams, it's really good. Have y'all ever noticed that? It is, we're trying to find the very best thing to say to the person when they have a dream, rather than be a self introspective, to look at yourself and to consider exactly what's going on, what God might be actually telling you that's of great importance, that would be something for you to see and understand, because it's going to perplex you, maybe cause you some consternation down the right line, and that God's giving you a vision of that so you can understand it. And I think that's an important principle that you can see even in this passage. I think that is an excellent principle that you can see in this passage, because the truth is that the likelihood that God's going to give you a dream that has a deep spiritual meaning, the likelihood that He's going to give you that dream is that He's going to not be encouraging you, but He's going to be warning you, or He's going to be teaching you, or He's going to be in some way changing you. And it's not always going to be positive. And to be healthy about that and to look at it with a critical eye, meaning look at it and really consider how that relates to your life, is a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing to do it with God's Word. Oftentimes when we do Bible studies that encourage us and uplift us, rather than Bible studies that actually dig down and change us. And when we're involved in Bible studies that dig down and change us, that's when we're matured. That's when we grow. Our natural state is we don't turn on something on TV that we don't like, that upsets us, unless you're watching the news all day. And normally what we do is we turn on something that entertains, makes us feel good, all that kind of stuff. And that's just the way we live our lives. And when we're dealing with God, we want God to be the same way, but He's not the same way, because He realizes the very best for us is for us to not remain the same, but be changed. And being changed is really what the Christian life is about. It's what salvation's about. And as you're studying and you're talking about dreams and visions and things like that, and I went over an understanding of that earlier this week, you need to understand that likely God is trying to tell you something of great importance, maybe something that you need to prepare for, or He's trying to tell you something about yourself, and you need to get out of that that is important. You need to get out of that that it's important that I hear what God's saying, and I allow that to change who I am. It says in verse 16, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, meaning interpretation of the butler was good. Notice he might not have even told Joseph the dream had he not heard the really good interpretation that was given to the other guy. And I love that about that passage, because God's telling you, listen, when we're dealing with dreams and I give you dreams, they're not always going to be ones that you like. And this guy, the only reason he was even going to tell his dream is because he liked the interpretation of the other dream. And if you see in Scripture, even when dreams are interpreted in Scripture, rarely are they really good. Oftentimes they are warning. Oftentimes they are a call to action. Oftentimes they're a call to a change in your life. And so he says, man, that was a good, I love that. Joseph's doing some fine interpreting over there, and I like that. And so I think I'll have him interpret my dream. And he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. Notice there's parallels to these dreams. And I think they're important to see. The first parallel is that both the baker and the butler were in their dream. And he says, and there were three white baskets on my head. Now, the baskets are for holding bread and or holding food. And they're important. They're not really a defined picture in scripture, but you'll see them oftentimes in relation to bread especially. But most of the time, they're in relation to carrying food in most ways. And it says, he says, and there were three white baskets on my head. Usually that's holiness. And remember, the number three always represents the Godhead. All that is God is represented by the number three. And as in the other interpretation, there were three days. And as Joseph interpreted that dream, he saw that there were three branches and that represented 3 days. In this situation, there are three white baskets. So you have the same number. You have the same people involved in this dream. You have totally different aspects, though. And he says, in the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. Now notice, Pharaoh's involved in too. So the characters are both involved, and Pharaoh is involved in both of these dreams. And notice, in the uppermost parts of the basket, meaning didn't know what was in the bottom of the basket, likely food, because he was a baker, the bread was the most important. There were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, meaning just like with the butler who took care of the wine for Pharaoh, the baker is taking care of the food for Pharaoh, especially the baked goods. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. Okay, so notice the basket's on his head rather than in his hand. And notice the branches, they were not even a part of the wine for the butler. They were producing grapes, and those grapes ultimately were for Pharaoh, and so is this food. But notice the birds eat them out of the basket on my head. Now, a lot of people say, and a lot of people love birds, but strangely enough, the two creatures that are most identified with spiritual powers and negatively with spiritual powers are dogs and birds. And human beings tend to, as far as animals are concerned, love dogs and birds more than anything else. And I find that very intriguing scripturally. Dogs tend to represent the demonic, or those disembodied evil spirits that died in the flood. They are the demonic, the demons, the unclean spirits. They're represented by dogs, and they're former humans. They're disembodied evil spirits and souls, and they want to be around humans. In fact, that's what they do. And when you're dealing with what we call demonic oppression, or you're dealing with what we would say is a stronghold, usually what that is, that's a power, an evil demonic power that is trying to control things. And why are they trying to control things? Because they continue to be in the presence of humanity. And once they get in there, they want to not allow anything to change so that they might have to leave. And that they just act like people who've moved in and don't want to leave. And that's exactly what happens in your life. And so they're usually pictured by dogs. Now, the angelic host is pictured by both lions and birds. And that's important also. Lions are a picture of a spiritual power or an authority, a huge powerful spiritual power or authority. And by the way, in scripture, Jesus is described as a lion. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And also Satan is described as a lion because they both have power. They're immensely powerful spiritually. And the devil is a fallen angel. And obviously Jesus is God. And so you would obviously think Jesus is an immense spiritual power, but Satan is a fallen archangel. So he is an immense spiritual power also. Now, birds can represent not only spiritual power, but they can also represent, obviously a dove represents the Holy Spirit oftentimes in scripture, but other doves, especially ravens and birds like that, usually represent fallen angels, but they can represent regular angels. They can represent angels that are serving God. And usually when they're doing something negative, you can tell that they're a picture of fallen angels in their actions. And in this situation, they're a picture of fallen angels. And what's going on is his his goodness, the thing that makes him valuable, the thing that makes him of worth to Pharaoh, is getting eaten by these birds. Now, that's negative. That's not a good thing. They're on his head, which means that's the place where your mind is. That's the place where your personality resides as far as who you are. They're on his head. They're the product of his mind. They're the product of his life. And they are for Pharaoh, but they are being eaten by the fallen angels. They're being destroyed by the fallen angels. And I would say that is not a good thing. Even though the pictures in this story seem to be equivalent, they're not equivalent, because you have, in one story, you have grapes and wine, which is the goodness of God. In this story, you have the word of God. But notice, just like in the parable that Jesus told, the birds are coming and they're eating it up. The parable of Jesus, the sower of seeds, some falls on the hard ground and the birds come eat it up. And you say seeds and bread are not the same thing. No, they're not. But seed is the initial starting point for wheat. And then ultimately wheat becomes bread. It's refined down and provided to you so that you can understand it. But that initial nugget of God's truth, that initial good news of the gospel that's given to us, oftentimes falls on hard ground. And remember, the birds of the air come and eat it. Obviously, it's not God's angels that are coming to eat it, because God sowed it for the purpose of it producing fruit. God's angels are not coming and taking it up from that place. It's the fallen angels that are coming to eat it up to ensure that it doesn't produce fruit. They snatch it up so that it doesn't take root in the hearts of men and they hear it. Well, so also is the word of God here. And the word here has been refined. It's been prepared to be eaten. And Pharaoh is a picture of not only the devil, he's a picture of the world. And so is Egypt. And it's being prepared to be eaten. And rather than being eaten by Pharaoh, it's going to be eaten by these angels or these birds of the air who snatch them up, just like the seed in the sower. And so Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. So you have the number three, and they represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you in a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. That's negative. That's real negative. I don't know if you know it or not, but verse 19 is not a positive interpretation. The baker was fired up after he heard the butler's interpretation, and not so much no more. He's a little bit upset about this. This is not a good thing. And notice it's an interpretation that tells him you got 3 days to get your life right. You got 3 days to hang, to figure out what's going on, because Pharaoh's going to come and he's going to take your head off, and then he's going to hang your body in a tree, and the birds are going to eat your flesh. And remember, I told you one of two things happened when you went to the royal jail, when you went to the royal dungeon there and this happens in any place. Either you leave there and go back to your original position, or you die. You don't get to go and take a lower position. And I know you see that a lot of times in stories that come from many centuries ago. But generally speaking, if you were a part of the royal household, if you were part of royalty, they would not allow you to go out away from there with that knowledge. They did not send you into exile very often. What they mainly did was they either reformed you or they killed you. And that's exactly what's going on here. The butler is being reformed by prison. The baker is being killed because of whatever happened, his actions in prison. And there we are. And it says, now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. So we're 3 days out. It came to pass that he made a feast for all his servants. Notice it's a time of celebration. So you'd naturally think that he was going to be benevolent and that he was going to take up these causes and fix them as a part of celebration of his birthday. It says that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and that he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to him. And it says, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And I think this is real important. Normally, I would place a lot of emphasis on God was absolutely right and Joseph was absolutely right in his interpretation. But sometimes I can beat that drum too long, too hard, or maybe I can't. The truth is that when God says something, And when God gives, it doesn't go away. God doesn't relent or change. He's not a man that he should lie. When he tells you something, he tells you something. Stay with it, stick with it, run with it, live with it. That's what it's all about. And obviously, these were dreams that had spiritual meaning. And obviously, Joseph gave the interpretation. And obviously, the most obvious part about this is that God was right and true. And what he had to say was yes and amen. And so as you're reading this, as you're studying this, you realize God's right, man's not right. And that's what you get out of the first part of it. The baker was going to die and the butler was going to be restored, and they were. But the other part about it is, and I think this is the most important part about it, is that the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And oftentimes we think that other people are always going to remember us and they're going to hold us fondly in their hearts. And that's what's going to happen while we're on this earth. It's not. And that's why even this Sunday, we'll talk about this in a lot of detail, but that's why Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. And that treasure's people. Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Notice he's not saying store them up all here on earth. Why? Because people are like this. People are not going to remember what God has used you to help them with. They're not going to remember all the good things that you've done for them. In fact, most of the time, people only remember the things that you didn't do for them. Most of the times, all they remember is the things that they expected you to do. And sometimes they'll even lie on you. That's what we say in Alabama. They're going to lie on you. And they're going to tell lies about you. They're going to tell stories about you. They're going to, if you're somebody that they can gossip about, they're going to gossip about that. If you're someone that they can figure out something to say negative about, they're going to say negative. Even people that you would expect to watch after you and take care of your back, generally speaking, that does not happen. And by the way, Joseph wasn't any real good friends with this baker. He just gave him an interpretation that came true. And so the baker's sitting there going, he's right, sure. As far as my life is concerned, I'm going to go back to my old life and I'm going to forget about Joseph. And that happens oftentimes. And so many times we want other people to be loyal to us and to love us and to have our best interest at heart. And let me tell you something, that is the demand of God for God's people in relation to each other, in relation to other people, that we do right by them and that we do good by them. But just because it's God's royal law, that it's the law of the Spirit that we do that, does not mean that other people are going to do it. You cannot hold people to that standard in the sense of an expectation that they are. You can hold them to that standard, hoping that their lives will produce fruit and that fruit will be beneficial to you, but you can't expect that's going to take place. What you've got to do is you've got to serve and to be who you're supposed to be as unto the Lord, which means that you're doing it, not they're going to help you out down the road. You're doing it because you have been called to do it and that you are representing Jesus Christ in the midst of ministry. And that's why you want to do it. That's how it's done. Okay. And there's really no other way to say it. That's how it's done. I'm doing it as unto the Lord, and I'm storing up for myself treasure in heaven. Because by the way, when they get to heaven, they're going to not be selfish. They're not going to be self-oriented. They're not going to be plagued by their own desires and their own wants on this earth. And they're going to remember the things that you've done out of love and faith for them. And they're going to be great treasure for you in heaven. Now, that's why we store up treasure in heaven, because that's where life is, really. That's where reality is in the spiritual, is in what is beyond us. And so if you're going to store that treasure up in heaven, you got to realize that it's not going to always be stored here. Men and women, people around you are not going to store up for you great love in their heart just because you've done good by them in a certain situation. They're not going to do it. They're broken and they're selfish and they're just not going to have that. But when they get to heaven, they're going to have great understanding of the value you were to their life. And so store up for them treasure in heaven. But why am I doing it here on earth? Because God has called me to love them, to help them, to be of service to them. And God has called me to be faithful to him and his will and his way in this world. And so I don't expect people to take care of me in the world that I live in. I expect people to be who they are in the world that I live in, selfish, sinful, struggling human beings. And what I do is I serve them out of love, but I serve them out of faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how it's done. It's really the only way it can be done. And when you do it that way, let me tell you something, there's great peace and purpose in this life, and there's great reward in the life to come. And Joseph is going to receive great reward in the life to come. And God is going to reward his faithfulness in this world, and he's also going to reward yours too. Your service and your love and your dedication toward him will not go unrewarded in this life or in the life to come. And go out there and serve God, trust him only, and love with his agape love to all. And you'll see his hand at work in your life.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.